You've got questions, we've got answers. Phone lines are open.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. It is Friday, which means you've got questions, we've got answers. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Any question of any kind, as long as it relates one way or another to The Line of Fire broadcast, we will gladly take your call. You can agree, disagree with me on anything. Happy to take your calls on a wide range of subjects. And the sooner you call in, the better chance we have of getting to your call. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, one thing very quickly before we go to your calls. This clip is just so amazing, so extraordinary. I just wanted to play it for you. Mara Gay, New York Times editorial board, is on with MSNBC's Brian Williams, and they have this fascinating discussion about the amount of money that Mike Bloomberg spent on his failed presidential campaign. Listen to what they say.
Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
I've got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads, U.S. population, 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it. It's true. It's disturbing. It does suggest, you know, what we're talking about here, which is there's too much money in politics.
It suggests that people can't do basic math. If you divide 500 million among 327 million, you don't get more than a million per person. You get $1.50 per person. Listen, we can all make mistakes. It can happen to anybody. I'm not insulting the people involved. It's just utter, beyond remarkable. So no, 500 million divided by 327 million does not give more than $1 million per person. If it was 500 million divided among 327 people, then they get more than a million. They get like a million and a half each. But when you divide 500 million among 327 million, you get a little over $1.50 each. So, yeah, I agree. There's too much money spent on politics. Let's use the money for other good causes. Use it for the gospel. Use it for social needs. Absolutely. But please, let's get the math right. Okay, with that, we go to Sergio in Toronto. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Michael Brown. Thank you for taking my phone call. So I'll try to get to it right away. So I was invited to a worship night. A really good friend of mine started attending this community. I went to it. Music was amazing. The people were amazing, were welcoming, were friendly. But I was deeply disturbed at when the message came. I realized it is a seeker-sensitive community. Did not mention repentance, did not mention sin, did not mention the cross. There was no gospel presented in the whole night. I give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're trying to deal with young people. I went to online, checked the different messages directly from the pastors. They just mentioned the gospel in passing, just kind of like, oh, the message of the gospel, or Jesus in passing. No, in the three messages, plus the night that I was there, no gospel presentation. What should I do? I don't want to, the person that invited me is someone that I deeply love, I really close with, and I'm not assuming that these people are not believers, but I'm deeply concerned and moved, and I'm trying to navigate. What should I do? Should I write a letter directly to the elders and ask them questions? I'm no one to, they don't have to answer to me. What do you recommend me to do?
Yeah, Sergio, first, I love your heart in this. I love the fact that you saw the good and that you did not make an immediate judgment. You thought maybe it's just this one sermon. You know, look, you could go to a church service and it's just a particular week. People have been going through hard times, difficult times, and the pastor just wants to give a word of encouragement and hope, and it's uplifting, and you're not hearing a lot about repentance and sin and things like that. And you know, you can understand that. Or maybe you're doing a series on marriage and family, and you're just talking about husband-wife relationships. And yeah, so that can happen. So you did the right thing, which is to check out more messages. And as you listen, you're not judging them as not being saved, but you're saying something's missing. And sadly, there is often a very superficial message that's preached behind many of our pulpits. It's just kind of a make me feel good, feel better about myself, add Jesus into my life and have a better life. And there's not a lot that's really going to call people to get right with God. And that often concerns me as well. So what I would do is this. First, if you had a guess, how big a church was it?
There was a good amount of people. Like, there was about, I want to say, close to 60 to 70 young people there.
Okay. All right. So it's not a church of thousands of people, though. Yeah, what I would do...
On Sundays, they have about I'll say probably close to 500, 600. So it's big enough.
Okay, got it. All right. So that being the case, it's unlikely that your writing to them is going to get them to change their perspective or anything, but you could reach out and just say, hey, I visited the service, love this and love that, but I had some concerns. You presented just the way you presented it to me. I'm not here to judge you, but could you explain what you believe and what you believe about preaching sin, repentance, things like that? This way they could, probably someone on the staff will respond to you. You know, if they're that size, you know, the senior pastor's not going to write back to you, but probably someone will. And hopefully they'll articulate things clearly enough that you can say, okay, this is definitely a place I don't want to go to. In other words, that their philosophy is one that, no, that we present it like this, we do it like this because we think there's a better way, and to you it may just smell of compromise. The other thing, whether you write to them or not, I would sit with your friend, and I would just talk with them, not in a critical way, but ask them, so what do you think is important in the preaching of the gospel? Like, let's go through the New Testament, and let's see the themes that were emphasized there. And do you think they're being emphasized here? And just have a conversation and try to draw this out and see if you can agree on what's important in the gospel. And then what's the difference between that and a lot of the seeker-sensitive Christianity that we have? I mean, these are things I wrote about starting in the late 80s, you know, the end of the American gospel enterprise and how saved are we and whatever happened to the power of God. A lot of books then dealing with the superficiality of the church. And unfortunately, it's continued in many ways today. So, you know, I might ask him, hey, could we watch like an old Billy Graham message or something like that, or Leonard Ravenhill message, and say, hey, you see a contrast between that and what's being preached today, and see if that will stir his heart to want something deeper in God as well. And beyond
well,
that,
I have a reform inclination now, so it's like it just goes so fast. Like I'm reform. That's how I understand it. I love your program. I listened to you for many, many years. I appreciate it. And it's just like going into that conversation is so challenging for people. Just have so many bad assumptions of people that we have this understanding of salvation.
Yeah. And look, you can say this. You could say, hey, this is not a matter of being reformed or not. That's not even the issue. It's a matter of, do we take conviction of sin seriously? Do we take divine judgment seriously? What's the meaning of the cross? You know, but if you could ask, you could say, look, obviously these people seem like great people. And, the worship service was wonderful. But just have an honest conversation in a non-judgmental way and say, hey, I'm not damning people to hell or judging them. Yeah, I'm not saying they don't love the Lord. But, you know, see if you can just have it in an open-hearted way, the same way you're doing it, talking to me with a graciousness and a burden because you're concerned. That's how you seek to have the conversation with your friend. And if there's not openness for that, just say, hey, could we just pray for each other that God would take us deeper in him? Would you pray that for me? Could I pray that? Could we pray that for each other? And, you know, who would not want that? And perhaps in answer to those prayers, God will call him deeper to himself. So I appreciate you calling.
Amen. Thank you.
And don't last thing, don't feel that you have a responsibility to change other churches. The leaders are the ones responsible to God. So you pray for God's best for the leaders. Lord, your very best. I don't pray judgmentally about others unless I know there's blatant error or sin. I pray, Lord, your best. Bring them into everything you have, the fullness of your truth, the fullness of your spirit. And you just pray blessing prayers that no one could argue against. Hey, thank you for the call. 866-34. Oh, one more thing. Sergio, great job of going into details without naming names. That many times it makes it a lot easier for us to talk freely because we're just talking about the subject matter. And that often makes it easier. You can even call in about your own church, whereas you might not want to mention the name or people know who you are or whatever. Just talk about the issues. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Alexandra in Dallas, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Awesome. I have a question in regards to the book of Job.
Yeah.
I'm kind of still kind of new to the faith, so I'm still learning everything. But one of my questions is in regards to Job 1. Why was God having a conversation with Satan, and were they really having a conversation in Job 1, 6 through, I think it's 16?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Alexandra, first thing, understand that many people who've been following the Lord for decades have the same question. So this is not just a question you're asking as a fairly new believer. It's a profound and difficult question. Yes, I do believe there was a literal conversation that went on with an angelic host watching. And it happened because God is God of the whole universe. And God is God of the fallen angels as well as the loyal angels. God is God over Satan, even though Satan's in rebellion. In other words, if God